If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come. This is the Eat, Sleep, Believe, Repeat podcast, your weekly AEW review and breakdown. Introducing first, most electrifying man in all professional wrestling podcasts, Gnarly Charlie.
And new!
I fucked it up. It's supposed to be host, but I don't care. Anyway, and the other man of our hosting duo, they call me the Duke. They call me the Digital Phantom. I'm the Duke of Bears, also known as Garrett. What's going on?
Hello, brother Garrett, the Digital Phantom.
Yo. All right. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Bane Duke. That's B-A-N-E-D-U-K. And you can find Charlie at Oh Charlie with an X instead of an A.
Instead of an A.
Right. You can also find us on the Vasoki Entertainment YouTube channel. Moon Knight Reviews coming soon.
Oh, yeah, dude. From what we're hearing from these early reviews, it's going to be a fun fucking show. So
V-I-S-O-K-I-I Entertainment. And yeah, that's all the housekeeping bullshit out of the way. All right. all right. So how are you today?
I'm doing great, man. AEW, we've got a lot of news this week. We had some big time matches this week. And honestly, the future's only looking brighter because I think we're starting to see some clarification for some of these storylines, which we will be diving into. But yeah, man, I mean, this has been fun. Sports-wise, this has been nuts, dude. As you guys know, I'm a Packers fan. If you don't know, I am a Packers fan. We traded Davante Adams, Garrett. My God.
I mean, like, bro.
Had to be done, though, right?
I mean, what you guys got some good stuff back for, right? Like,
yeah, we got a first this year and a second. So, you know, hey, if you guys don't
those
know,
those could pan out really well, depending
exactly.
on how
I'm
they
a draft
used.
Guy.
And let's just be real. One thing that Aaron Rodgers wants right now is control over who gets drafted. This is an opportunity for the Packers to be like, hey, who do you want us to pick up here? You know, like,
yeah, what are we snagging? And Garrett.
All right, well, how are you going to feel when they don't draft another skill position, though?
Hey, it better be D-line then or something, bro. This time next week, hopefully we're talking and the Colts have a new quarterback. Because
I'm thinking either Baker Mayfield or Matt Ryan. Not entirely sure which way it's going to go.
Dude, oh, man, there could be some good stuff there. I'm with you. But we're Baker guys, bro. That'd be cool.
Mitch Trubisky. Anyway.
The Mitch machine. But yeah, right, Garrett. So as we do, we'll jump into our favorites first. And then we'll dive into a little bit of news. Because, yeah, there is a lot of news this week, including some injuries. Which
25 homers Jose Ramirez this year. All right. Anyway.
Okay. Which I'm sad about this. I'm sad about these injuries. But let's get into our favorites. Because, my God, there's so many. I was almost a promo guy this week. But we're going to go steel cage match, the main event of Dynamite, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD versus Thunder Rosa. And man, this
Before
felt
we praise this match completely, I had one tiny complaint with this match.
Go ahead.
Stop using the goddamn thumbtacks so much. like
they've been using them a lot lately.
It just feels like it doesn't matter as much when you do it all the time. It's the same thing with the blood. Thankfully, there's no blood this week, but like, well, no, like, no blood that's not like thumbtack related. Like, I don't think they intended for anyone to be bleeding in this match per se.
Little bits here and there. Yeah, just
maybe
just
a little bit, but not like you get what I'm
not
saying.
Not CM Punk level. No,
no, exactly. Well, we're coming off they want of what that we just to had. Be like, because I feel like that's what took away from that moment with Punk was that there was already blood, or maybe it took away from the match later. I don't know. Anyway, the point is. So everything else was good, but like, I'm over the thumbtacks.
This was a slow build to the match. This felt big. This was a big presentation. I love Thunder. I mean, dude, by that entrance, you're like, I mean, we already knew Thunder Rosa was winning, but with that entrance, you're like, yeah, this is her hometown. Big time.
I still say they should have given it to her at the pay-per-view and probably the last pay-per-view where they fought. Like,
and it's just one of those things. It's like, it's impossible to look at things in a vacuum, but for this match, just kind of being what the match was, they went out there. This was a 17-minute match. There was only one commercial break for it, and you felt that. You actually felt like you were watching the entire match. It was a slow build. It was grind, like I dare say, grindy match. This was a slower build to a wrestling match, and it once he got going with, like you said, with the tags, with Aubrey coming in, it was cool to let Aubrey kind of get that moment. I saw a lot of people saying that first ref didn't sell the super kick. He definitely did. He fucked up getting down.
That ref, I guess, maybe he was tired and wanted to just take a nap. I don't know.
I think he fucked up getting down, and it made it look like he didn't sell it. And I saw a lot of people freaking out, like, oh, of course he's not selling.
Oh, I mean, like, he's not going to, like, just take, like, a really nasty fall. He's not trained to fall like a wrestler. Like, not that wrestlers are really trained to fall, but, like, they can do it better.
Some people are making that a bigger deal than it needs to be. I just think he fucked up, to be honest.
I think they just intended for that to not be the main ref of that match. They wanted Aubrey to be, obviously, in there.
They wanted Aubrey to be out there, get that moment with Thunder Rosa. I mean, this is a big deal for Thunder Rosa. I mean, Garrett, I remember Thunder Rosa's first match in AEW.
I remember us watching a random episode of Dynamite, and it just so happened to be, who did she even face that night?
I have no idea. But
somebody who's not even being shown on TV anymore, who was also
pretty good. It might have been Riho? Maybe?
It might have been. That's why I think it's somebody who's not on TV, because they were really pushing the Joshi women at the time. But Riho, we realized, was just a really good wrestler in that moment. But also, like, Thunder was just like, having these matches, I mean, we kept watching everything she was doing, and she was, I believe, the NWA Women's Champion at the time or something like that. Like,
that is correct.
Which that championship looks terrible, but
excuse me. Now she's got this new beautiful
one. Do you think the AEW Women's Championship looked bad? My goodness. But anyway,
now we got the new beauty. Hey, unfortunately, my slight complaint was the match was rushed at the end for time. Unfortunately, Britt Baker had to no sell one of the moves in order to get the Thunder Driver Slam. That is what it is. I'm just gonna, in kayfabe, I can look past that, just knowing that they were for time. It doesn't affect me, but I will say this: Britt Baker hasn't had my favorite title reign. That still goes to Hikaru Shida. But this was a good match, and this was a good way to end it for her. Thunder Rosa was the right person. It needed to be. If they could have played it out longer for Jamie Hayter, maybe that's the move. But maybe they just actually do that feud without the title.
And yeah,
maybe
I feel it like means that feud much doesn't more. Need the title for it to
yeah,
work.
Yeah, so maybe it means that much more. But real quick before we jump into your thoughts on this, I just want to cover Britt Baker's title reign. This is something we've been doing when people win and lose the titles. So Britt Baker, she won this title at Double or Nothing 2021. Her first defense was against Nyla Rose. Then she defeated Red Velvet. And then we're at All Out. She took out Chris Statlander. She defeated Ruby Soho at Grand Slam. That was a really fun one.
Yeah.
Ty Conti at Full Gear.
That was one of the better ones.
Yeah, agreed. Ty Conti at Full Gear. So she went a couple rushed. Months without defending it. That one was big time rushed. Britt Baker defeated Riho at Battle of the Belts.
Oh.
Hey, God damn it. That was good. Good catch there, bud. Good catch. And then her last two, Thunder Rosa, and then this one. So 8 title defenses in all. She lost the last one. But I don't think her title reign is going to be known for the title defenses. It's going to be known for the star she became during the reign.
Yes.
And, I mean, hey, when it's all said and done, this won't be your first title reign. Hopefully not.
It does suck, though, because it feels like the title elevated her. She didn't elevate the title, which... Whatever.
I mean, she definitely brought it to another level with her character getting as big as it did. But who knows that's what we have to see what happens.
I feel like it matters now more that Thunder has it. Not anything against Britt Baker, but like I think that for a while people wanted it off of her. Like, to be honest with you, like, not wanted, for anything against her. They needed, like, we were talking about this with the Sammy Guevara thing. As much as I wanted Sammy to stay champion for a little bit longer, like, they do need to start moving the titles around a little bit. Like,
So she was a 290-day champion. So she is the second longest reign behind Hikaru Shida's 372, which was a fucking insane title reign.
That's because they did literally, like, the same problem. They had, like, you think they had the problem of Britt Baker not being, having an incredible start? Like, what do you think it was like with the...
Hikaru Shida's title. That was a great title reign. And to me, I was not too familiar with Hikaru Shida before that reign, but ever since it, we've been following her here. She's been Dark, and now she's got Serena Deeb, so...
If you take all of the recent signings, Serena Deeb, Britt Baker, and, like, Mercedes Martinez, because I'm including those as like the current women's division or whatever, and you throw the Joshi women they have signed, like Ryo Mizunami, Mei Suruga, not that I necessarily have signed, but like that whole group of people, Emmy Soccer, yeah, all that. You have a good women's division right there, dude. Like that's, you throw all that together, that's enough.
I think it's only getting better, man. Statlander's got the character change now. If they just now, used we'll more
of
them,
like if they had a couple of women's matches a week, one on Rampage, maybe one or two on this episode of Dynamite, like I feel like they could have a really active, good women's division. They have the talent to do it. They figured out which ones they don't want to use as much. Oh, I also didn't include Red Velvet as well, but obviously, and they're in the mainstream women's division in AEW right now too. Or even like throw some more of those people on Dark. Like they had a really good like Joshi women's thing going on Dark for a while that they just kind of abandoned. I don't understand why. I sent them all back to Japan yeah. for some reason. Like I don't. Like Emmy just got back. Like Emmy was like on she was TV on this week, like, yeah. in tag matches against Britt Baker back in like 2020,
you know? I think so.
Like so, it's like what the hell? Like where's yeah, your other half of your women's division? Like,
what were your thoughts on this? And I guess you could talk about the title reign as a whole here.
Yeah, I mean, other than the thumbtacks, it was a really brutal match. I thought the ref brutal. That's a good word funny. For it.
You know me. Yeah. I like a slow, methodical match when it's done.
Yeah,
right.
Back and forth. The Fire Thunder driver into the thumbtacks probably hurt a lot.
Oh yeah.
You know what bump I would like to see into the thumbtacks now? Now I'm booking against my own interests because I want to get rid of the thumbtacks, but I want to see the what is it called? The Big Bang Theory into the thumbtacks.
Ooh, okay.
Maybe that can be like a blood feud. Maybe we're getting Chris Statlander with an edge, so maybe before everything falls apart with Jamie Hayter, maybe like Britt Baker gets beat up by Chris Statlander. But now that there's no title that she can't win off of her. For whatever reason, but no, I really enjoyed it. I like AEW steel cage match rules of not being able to escape the cage because why the fuck does that make any sense at all in a fucking yep. wrestling match? You know, like
you should, yeah.
That is one. I still think the cage should rules. Either be sealed or there should be like it should be an old school style cage, like with the metal, because that just feels cooler to me. But maybe it's more dangerous.
Feels straight, yeah, probably.
Like WrestleMania 1 steel cage or WrestleMania 3, whatever it was. But anyway, but yeah, it was a good match. I really enjoyed it. Thunder Rosa finally gets the big one. It's just kind of crazy that I was like telling you when we first saw her on Dynamite that, like, that this chick's going to be a star. And like she just won the championship.
And now look at it. Yeah, now she is the star. I mean, outside of Jade, I mean.
I think it was funny because whoever star. I think it might have been Riho, because you were like, oh my gosh, that was a really great match. I was like, it wasn't because of Riho. Not to say anything against Riho, but like that, I remember that's who stood out to me in that match was Thor's yep. Thunder, because like all the stuff you see her doing now, like she was fully formed then. That's probably why she was NWA Women's Champion. But still, like she was a fully formed wrestler then. It's kind of like when Ruby Soho burst onto the scene. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Similar sort of meteoric rise, just in AEW instead of NXT, you know, like, it's wild. But I'm really curious to see who they put against Thunder next, because I think obviously Britt Baker back of the line, so we're not going to run that back. Plus, it feels like it was capping off their feud in like a really, like, sort of like final way.
I got to imagine it's got to be Layla, right? No,
maybe. That was just kind of like, why have Layla lose to Thunder on the way up then? Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
such a weird booking decision if that's how you decide to do it. Like, but I mean,
because they could do the bunny, they could do Penelope Ford, they could do anyone that they want, really.
That would make sense because the AFO are like getting big push right now. So, I mean,
yeah,
that would be interesting. Is Penelope technically a part of the AFO?
I don't think so.
But the bunny is, right?
Let's check the rankings. At one, we had Thunder Rosa. Two, Serena Deeb. Well, there you go. Serena Deeb beats Sheeta.
Serena
Deeb
makes sense, but she's kind of still, I think Layla her Hirsch, Anna match Jay, has to be Sheeta, right? Because they're not going to have that. Or unless Battle of the Belts, you have Sheeta versus Serena in some sort of finale match, but that's not a belt. But I guess not every match about all the belts is going to be for a championship. Maybe that's what you do. Maybe you do Scorpio Sky defending, and maybe Adam Page versus Adam Cole, and then in the middle you sandwich in Sheeta versus Serena, and then Serena. Maybe that's a number one contenders match also somehow or some shit. You know what I mean? Like,
we'll do something. So, what was your favorite this week? Moving on.
I really enjoyed the main event of Rampage. So we both took main event matches.
Main event week. Guys.
And the guy that I really enjoyed tonight, not again, anything against Keith Lee. Keith Lee does his thing, and Keith Lee's really good at what he does. But Max Caster carried this match, obviously. Because he's just really all-around good wrestler, and I would assume between the two of them, I don't know which one of them actually has more experience. I'd have to look. Maybe it's Lee, but...
Oh, yeah, I'd imagine Keith Lee.
I mean, it really depends. I don't know, Max Caster might have been doing his thing for a while, but... But anyway, Max Caster, I think, really looked good in this match. His pre-match promo was pretty fun. Keith Lee, I feel like, hasn't really impressed me on the mic so far. I'm not saying that he can't do it. I've heard him make cut good promos before. I just don't know if in AEW he's really... Maybe he's just saving it for when he actually does feud with somebody. Okay. But the setup that we're getting throughout the like the last few weeks for Keith Lee versus Powerhouse Hobbs looks like it's going to be really fun. I think, though, we'll probably get him versus Ricky first. That's what it seems like. Maybe for the FTW championship and Hobbs like costs. That's what I'm thinking.
That makes a lot of
sense. I really enjoyed this match. We also set up, potential matches like Keith Lee versus Swerve, Max Caster, and the Acclaimed versus Swerve. I'm really hoping we get a Max Caster versus Swerve rap battle. That'd be kind of fun. We could actually like avenge the universe for that. Like, I loved what the New Day and Usos put together, but it was kind of corny. Like, you know, I would like to see like what an unleashed rap battle in AEW would look like. You know, like, Max Caster might get fired for this one.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm with you, man. I really enjoyed this segment. What's funny is I actually thought when they were doing the interview, I thought Keith Lee actually, I saw a different side to him that I hadn't seen in his most recent run in NXT and stuff. And I was like, huh, that's pretty interesting. He said something along the lines of calling a Max a bitch. And like saying, I'm going to prove it in the ring. And I was like, okay, I can see where he's going with this.
I wasn't like super impressed. He was basically was just like, you can't even lace my boots was kind of his attitude, which I feel like maybe is his attitude in general. Maybe that's why he rubbed people the wrong way, you know?
Or it may be allegedly. I think he might be playing up that character a little bit.
I'm not saying he actually did. I'm saying allegedly, you know, because that was said about him when he was leaving or whatever.
And yeah, I mean, it's just what's funny is I think we both – this is what's so cool. We both love this segment and we love this match and we both loved it for different reasons. And for me, what stood out actually was Keith Lee. And I thought the Powerhouse Hobbs Keith Lee tease was also really well done. But Keith Lee and Max Caster, I think Max is getting a lot better. And this is the proof. We said this last time during the last Acclaimed match. We said, look, the Acclaimed are more than just the entrance, right? A lot of people will dub Acclaimed as, oh, they're just this entrance. That's funny. No, they're not. Anthony Bowens is great, but Max is getting even better. And in turn, they're becoming a much better tag team in the ring. And when you combine that promo with being just good in the ring, look at MJF.
Right? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
MJF, one of the biggest stars. The Acclaimed, who knows what the future holds? I mean,
well, it's funny because like Max Caster most of the time does the talking because of all the rapping that he does and stuff like that. But like, Bowens also can actually cut a pretty damn good promo. Like, it's really weird. Like, they're just this interesting combination that they found. I'm assuming just out there on the indies. You know what I mean? Probably like lighting up indie shows all over the place. Yeah, like,
and it's been really well done. And I'm with you. I gotta talk about after the match. Powerhouse Hobbs and Keith Lee is being teased excellently. You had Team Taz plus the Acclaimed kind of surrounding Keith Lee, and then Swerve comes out. Swerve, there's a different energy when Swerve walks in, and I think Swerve is going to be very happy in AEW, and I think the AEW fans are going to respect him. There's going to be a moment when Swerve's going to be in a big time match. I don't know if it's at a pay-per-view, a main event of Dynamite or Rampage. It's going to be a big time match. Swerve's going to be in the middle of the ring, no mic. He's going to yell "Whose house?" and the entire audience is going to chant back "Swerve's house." It's going to be this massive, just big, beautiful thing. But I'm assuming they might have set up a tag here. They might have set up.
I'm thinking, a tag match. Keith Lee and Swerve versus the Acclaimed, probably.
Oh, my God. That sounds beautiful.
Or Keith Lee and Swerve versus Ricky Starks and Hobbs.
But if this is, if we go into this FTW champion, let's just hear, I think what they might be doing with this is something for Battle of the Belts. And it might be an FTW championship match with
Swerve, Ricky Starks.
Swerve, Ricky Starks, maybe Keith Lee, and maybe Anthony Bowens. Maybe they'll do a fatal four-way for the for the FTW championship. So I'm starting to see, I think the FTW championship is going to be on the line a little bit more. And you could do a scenario.
They defended on an episode of Rampage, so I'm surprised they haven't done that more, to be completely honest.
Agreed. And I think you could run an angle here where Keith Lee wins it and Hobbs wins it back to keep it in Taz, but also have it on someone else.
Yeah, I agree, because right? There's no way for you to put it on somebody else in Team Taz. Like, maybe Keith Lee, like, injures Ricky Starks in the match, too, or something, and, like,
so Hobbs gets revenge, and we're running. Look, if I am loving if this is the first match. We've been saying for a while, feuding with Team Taz is one of the best things you can do, and I love it, man. Team Taz, everything they touch is beautiful, and you also got to start thinking, when's Hook coming in? Because we know Hook's on Dynamite this week, so.
Maybe that's how Hook comes in. Maybe it's not Hobbs that wins back the FTW championship.
So I'm with you.
Because you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I love Hook. I don't know if he's ever championship bound because I don't know if that's his thing. Like, I feel like he's like kind of like the
Daniel Bryan-sized
monster. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird.
Something's
like,
telling me by the time we reach All Out, Hook will be wrestling like a massive star and it'll feel
I just think the FTW championship will be fun for him because he never has to speak.
I think they need to start using this belt a little more as like –
And I still think the Acclaimed – oh, I said this to you. I don't know if I said this on the show. I think the Acclaimed should join Team Taz just because of the association they've had. It doesn't have to be a thing.
Maybe this was the beginning of it.
But I feel like Team Taz is just like short one – like one or maybe not two, but like one more member or group. Plus, they don't really have a dedicated tag. You know what I mean? Like
Hook, Hobbs, Starks. Yeah, I mean, that could be your tag within the group, and it could be fun. So, yeah, that was our favorites. That was pretty fun. I'm thinking, Garrett, we got a lot of news this week, and we'll hit this news real quick, and then we're going to dive into our Dark Elevation and Dark results, as well as the Rampage and Dynamite results. All right, so, kicking us off with news, this weekend we had AEW announce a working relationship with DDT Pro Wrestling and TJPW. Christopher Daniels made the announcement. This is going over well. DDT Pro Wrestling, they're allowed to start appearing at AEW events. Their current champion appeared back in 2021, and it was pretty cool. And it was clarified by Michael Nakazawa that TJPW, Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling, will be part of the relationship. So I think, as we were kind of talking about earlier, you know, it seems like some of the girls have gone back to Japan. Maybe this is a sign they're going to not only come back, but bring more people with them. And I'm always down with that. Let's be straight up. But no, DDT Pro Wrestling has some great young talent. Obviously, Joshi Pro Wrestling. There's so much talent in Japan, man. So
absolutely.
I'm assuming we're both on the same page with this. Like, we're just super excited.
I feel like DDT is kind of like in the same place Noah was like 3 or 4 years ago. You know, like I would say
it's. I feel like it's only getting more popular. I'd agree. And now Noah has that working relationship with New Japan. So
you know what I mean. So like, I feel like
it's pretty sweet.
I feel like it'll be interesting to see where they go with it. I would like to see like Mae Suruga and like all those people back, but like, I don't know. I know she's, wrestling for like some weird championships over in Japan. Like I don't even know, like some weird social media wrestling company or something, but like,
we also got, some injury news, which we're a little sad about because it's one of our boys and, this might explain a lot. Matt Sydal has been out of action since February 21st, and he took to social media to reveal that he had a dislocated knee a few weeks ago, and there are no tears in his ACL or PCL. And yeah, so it's
so yeah, sucks that we lost Lee because of this, you know?
Yeah, so Matt Sydal, Lee Moriarty have both been sidelined for a little bit, and now we know why, and now we kind of know why they're just going to do the top flight thing. But I guess we'll have to see
Also explains why Lee got a couple of singles matches randomly out of nowhere. Not that he couldn't. He had been wrestling singles matches as part of a tag, but like they just gave him a couple back-to-back weeks or something like that. And yeah. I was like, okay, now that makes sense, you know. But
so yeah,
we all like Matt Sydal, though. Exactly. I hope he recovers because he's only got so many years left, you know what I mean?
He's been wrestling a long time. And speaking of wrestling a long time,
he was like the indie guy for the longest time, like that would never sign anywhere important. Like he was like, nope, I won't go to TNA and I won't go to WWE. Fuck you.
He had a good run in WWE too, Evan Bourne. Miro has re-signed with AEW to a 4-year deal that will keep him in the company until at least 2026. Good to know. They're still taking care of him while he's at home injured. So some more injury news.
This was actually the speculation that I believed was that it was contract related, though he hadn't been on TV. I mean, it makes sense. He was probably trying to get more money or something. Or something, maybe he wants to wrestle other places. You know what Miro needs to go? Did he ever actually go to Japan? Like, he should go to Japan for a little bit.
Maybe he will. Maybe he'll do the Ring of Honor thing. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that. Well, he is still hurt now, so we'll have to see when he comes back. Ring of Khan. Khan! So, good for Miro. We love Miro. Maybe he can come back to the white box.
Yeah, maybe he'll come back from heaven one day.
Yes, 2022 AEW Double or Nothing sets record for the largest North American non-WWE gate in history, and Garrett, there isn't a single thing announced for it. That's awesome.
I mean, we know what's probably going to be on there, though.
Yeah, Double or Nothing's going to be fucking huge.
It's going to be one of a couple of matches. Either Cole versus, maybe they'll do like a, maybe Cole will win and then run it back, you know what I mean, again, which could happen, but I don't think that'll happen.
Jade Cargill versus Athena. Oh, give us all.
Whoa.
And then one last little thing here. The Briscoes and FGR got their match. They will be wrestling at Supercard of Honor. This kind of comes along the lines of a Tony Khan interview where he said he will be running Supercard of Honor.
So let me be clear here. Tony Khan won't book them on AEW because TBS executives don't want the Briscoes, right? But he'll book them on Ring of Honor. What does that say about Tony Khan? Just saying.
Hey, man, I think it means he's going to run ROH. And he's going to do it his way. That card is already looking pretty sweet of the three matches. Gresham is facing
Bandido. Do we actually know if any of the Sinclair stuff was a part of the deal? Because if he bought that, then he doesn't have to have anybody that has anything to say about that at that point. The executives work for him at that point. Imagine if he just cancels his contract with TBS and just, like, buys Sinclair and says, no, fuck you. Oh.
Yeah, no. They're not losing TBS. That's what's keeping this thing rolling.
Cancels
here.
The entire AEW roster. Just says nope.
But yeah, other than that, I mean, there's a couple little wrestling things we could touch on. Jay White, Buddy Matthews, all wrestling in New Japan Strong. Big Damo made his debut. Some Jonah news. You know, Jonah was supposed to be the top guy in NXT.
Dude, Damo will be a star somewhere. You know, I can see him landing an Impact.
Hey, man, he's also going to Strowman's.
They like big meaty men in Impact.
Big meaty men, yes. But yeah, that'll do it for us. Strickland faced Blake Christian, which I need to seek that match out. Swerve, I should say. So, I don't know why I call him Strickland still. He goes by Swerve mostly now. But Garrett, if you would like to help us out with the Dark Elevation results of
Elevation
this week.
Episode 54.
All right.
Nyla Rose opening up the show. Quick
Hold on.
Match.
What? She might be Thunder Rosa's opponent. We were just talking about this.
Oh, interesting. Because we've been like, what are they building up Nyla for? Okay.
Oh, that might. You know what?
Okay.
Okay. I'm actually cool with that. Nyla Rose versus Thunder Rosa.
Call Vicky Guerrero a sellout.
Hey.
Like, you used to be a fan of people. Anyway. Now you're a bad guy. I always wondered why it was that Vicky was a heel. I understand that she's got a shrill voice, but like that doesn't mean you have to be a bad person, you know, like anyway.
Well, there's no ever turning Nyla face.
Nyla Rose, no, absolutely not. Nyla Rose wins with the Beast Bomb. 62-23 record. What a record.
That's
all right. We had actually
incredible.
One of my favorite matches on Dark or Elevation this week. We had Frankie Kazarian. Frankie taking on Tiger Huas. I can't believe Huas isn't signed yet, man. I feel like this guy, have you been keeping a list of people that I like take? Cause I don't know if I asked you to do that or not. We should start doing that. People that
we
I tell
like
a vague interest in, or that you have a vague interest in on Dark and see if they get signed or not.
Because, like, obviously Anthony Green would have been the top of my list for a long time, but that's obviously no. He hasn't even been on Dark in months, but, like,
I could say right now, I think the Renegade Twins are up there for me.
Yeah, the Renegades. How are they not on the roster? They've had matches on AEW TV, but I guess so did Green, so whatever. But anyway, yeah, sign Huas. The match is solidly good. The capoeira style that Huas has is really interesting. Frankie wins with his chicken wing. Crossface chicken wing, they just need a better name for it, man. Like, sleeper hold is just lame, but, like, I don't know. There's got to be a better name for it. Rear naked choke. I mean, that also sounds kind of stupid. Anyway, Emi Sakura and the Bunny took on Sky Blue and Kylan King. Kylan King, is she okay? Is she signed?
Nope.
Anyway,
there's so many women on Dark. If you guys love women's wrestling, man, you got to check out Dark because they bring in so many great women, and it's incredible. It's all the time. It is all the time.
I was gonna say it's a cool new team between Blue and King, but who knows?
Yeah, who knows.
But there are some better matches on Dark this week. That's what I was thinking at this point in the show, winning with the down the rabbit hole. I don't know how I feel about the Bunny's move being used by everybody else under the sun, but whatever. I guess she's just teaching it to everybody. Up next, we had Jay Lethal from Elizabeth, New Jersey.
He still gets a reaction, man. I think he always will.
Yes, because he's good. I love Jay Lethal. Lethal injection for the win. Ruby Soho had a quick squash with No Future, got the W, and Silver and Reynolds beat up on Chaos Project to set up the, like, random match they had the next week. Boring ass main event.
That was a rough
and
one.
Silver and Reynolds picked up the win with their cool combo of moves that they do that I like.
Funny enough, I was watching this Dark episode with a friend who usually doesn't watch wrestling, and yeah, it was it was going well.
Main event. Everything else built up right.
Yeah,
nicely.
It was going well, and then that main event. My God, I
kind of decapitated it at the end. Like, I don't understand why they pulled like a Night's Watch on Janice Slint at the end. All right,
so let's get into AEW Dark this week, and I don't have the number. I don't know if
134
AEW Dark, and we open up with the Young Bucks. Hey, Young Bucks and Brandon Cutler defeat Dark Order, Evil Uno, and Cole Cabana, and Allen Angels. And since we've been covering this show, this is the first time the Young Bucks have been on Dark. We've been covering for about, 8 months now? So, Young Bucks, first time on Dark. Brandon Cutler is so good at being bad. It's genius. That is a skill. That is a talent. Brandon Cutler is great at being bad. He had this moment in the match where he was trying to make the hot tag. He did a roll. He jumped, extended everything, and fell short. And the Dark Order guys just grab him and drag him back to their corner. This match would have, I genuinely think if this was on like a Rampage, that would have been a big reaction. But it was pretty funny. It still got a pop out of Universal. This was a fun little match. Brandon Cutler and the Young Bucks ended up winning.
BTE trigger.
Ruby Soho ended up defeating Ashley Dambois. Again, I think Ashley looks good. This was fine. I mean, Ruby kind of just crushes people, right?
So yeah, I mean, she doesn't really have anything going on. That's why they're building her for something also. I don't know what.
Maybe I would turn her heel Layla on. Maybe next. She turn. Maybe they turn her heel on Thunder Rosa.
No, maybe she fights Layla.
Maybe.
Be kind of interesting.
Josh Woods, the Ring of Honor Pure Champion, defeated AC Adams.
I liked the references to that.
And that signature float over German suplex. I'm down.
Dude, that crazy release throw that he does to people. First of all, how much money to pay do you have to pay to take that move?
Yeah. You know, this is one of those guys where I think this is what's going to happen with some of these Ring of Honor guys. And he hasn't been on TV yet. But we've seen him, I think this was his third or fourth time now on Dark. And he cut a promo after talking about Tony Khan purchasing ROH and how he's so happy about it.
Yeah.
So
Josh Woods will obviously be on Ring of Honor. You know what I mean?
And I gotta wonder, like, Josh.
But it also
Woods,
sounded like he's implying that they might be defending his title in AEW, which is kind of cool.
You know who I think he'd work well with?
Hmm.
I think Josh Woods and Daniel Garcia would actually be one of those
Maybe really if fun. But he has to lose his championship in Ring of Honor, because I don't think they're gonna have that branded interconnectedness in the same way like Raw and
SmackDown. Oh no, I'm just saying on a dark. I just throw it on dark. Let him get 15 minutes just of wrestling.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah,
because that's what they said. Like he's on Ring of Honor and on dark. That's what they said at the end of the promo. Tony Schiavone.
Ricky
Schiavone.
Starks gets the win with a big spear. This is a beautiful move, Rochambeau. By the way. Yeah, Ricky Starks, how he goes between the ropes and all that crap. Darian Bankston, I was unfamiliar with him, but it worked. Diamante defeated Session Moth. This was her on here again.
Session Moth, Martinez, some more.
Diamante getting the win, though. I want to hope they're going to do something.
Bro, where the hell was her gear this week?
Hey, yeah, I don't know. She hit the code red, but it was a... Really,
I still don't get Session Moth Martina.
I don't either. That's some of that comedy wrestling that doesn't really work with me. But they're like, I love comedy wrestling, but sometimes it doesn't work, and that is one of them.
Yeah,
and that Code Red was actually awful. I don't know whose fault it was, but
probably not Diamante's. I'm guessing.
Yeah, this was moving on. Dark Order defeated Chaos Project. John
the
Slumber,
rematch
Alex
everybody
Reynolds.
Wanted.
Yeah, man, I just... Negative one was out there, I guess, right? So, second two nights in a row, they beat him. I mean, look, they just want to keep Silver and Reynolds up in the rankings, because I'm sure whenever the next heel champions come across, or while they're building up heels, you know? Layla Hirsch defeated Marina Tucker. As soon as the bell rang, she kind of crushed her, hit her with the knee strike, and tapped her out.
Literally.
Layla's great. I love Layla.
Yep. She's like a female Bryan Danielson, basically.
Top Flight and facing Invictus Cash and Aria Davari. This
Again,
was good.
Why are those guys not signed?
Yeah.
They're like literally your dark job
that.
Guys.
Like. Agreed. I did not like the idea of this match of working so long on Darius. It felt like it was forever for a dark match. I'm not gonna. It felt like it was a TV break. It was they were working
well,
on Darius
probably
for so
recorded
long.
The same night that they recorded their comeback. So I'm guessing,
or maybe the day after, because this was at Universal. So
either
I don't
way,
know.
It was close together. Like they hadn't. I feel like they were just trying to give Darius some reps before
but
they had him.
They
back
were really
in the
trying
Royal.
To ground.
Because remember, it was like, really confusing for them. It seemed like because they were trying to talk like the Battle Royal or the Battle Royal. Like well, yeah, no, the Battle Royal, whatever it's called. The Tag Team Battle Royal for the. Pay-per-view or qualifier or whatever.
Yeah.
That hadn't happened for them in this taping, it didn't seem like yet. Like
yeah, it was strange, man. But this once Dante got the tag, I mean it was insane. Dante and Darius are incredible. They're just so good. And I think and I hope Tony sees that. 10 defeated Aaron Solo. Honestly, pretty good match. Solo was getting a pretty decent crowd booing for it being in Universal, which by the way. I don't know if this is a hot take or people feel like this. I think they need to get the fuck out of Universal. I don't like it. I actually kind of hate it, but I don't know. They would have to record Rampage live more, right? That would have to be the solution to where you can just do dark before every Rampage, right? But since they don't
I mean,
record-
like, the thing is, like, you have to have, like, the facilities... To have like all the wrestling, I feel like they should just. I don't know what the solution is. Like,
I don't
maybe
either.
Maybe they should do like WCW back in the day had like a building that was dedicated where they didn't necessarily have like cameras, but like they could just have a camera set up in like a
maybe you do it
performance
at Daily
center
Switch.
Style
I
setup. Like, because I feel like the Nightmare Factory is a building that exists, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
probably,
I doubt
I think
Cody's
going to
be like, sorry, AEW talent, get out of my wrestling school. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but he's still going to be training guys like Brock Anderson. You know what I mean? Like,
agreed. But this was pretty solid.
How do you think WWE feels about that, by the way? That he's still going to probably be training like weekly AEW superstars, you know? Like,
it's something we're going to have to wait and see. I mean, a lot of things are riding on this. We'll get into the Cody stuff.
Dude, Cody's debut
I definitely
is going
to
be the biggest fucking thing in wrestling since CM Punk came back, in my opinion.
I think it's going to be big. Yeah, we'll dive into some Cody stuff at the end here. I got some thoughts on that, too. I think it's going to be pretty cool. Yeah, but 10 defeated Aaron Solo. Emi Sakura, back-to-back wins. Nice seeing her back with the Vader bomb.
Yeah, I was going to wait for her to get a W. I was interested.
Yeah, that twisting senton, man. Twisting Vader bomb. It works. Lance Archer, we all know. We didn't have to say anything. We didn't have to say anything more. Daniel Garcia in 2.0, 45-second victory over a bunch of good brothers.
So, yeah, they had two for the show, Scorpion Deathlock.
This main event match, Garrett.
Really short for Jorah Joel match.
But I'll be excited about this. Frankie Kazarian versus Jorah Joel. And
who's Frankie fighting? Tell me. They're building them up for something. Who's he fighting?
Oh, nobody. I think Frankie is on Dark for the foreseeable future.
Who's he going to give the win to on Dark on their way up? That's what I'm asking you.
Daniel Garcia, maybe?
Because I can't see him. They might even do it on TV, man, because Frankie's good enough. Like,
oh, yeah. I think maybe they're boosting Frankie's record for...
Because Joel was, I thought, maybe going to be it when I saw it on paper.
And okay.
Because Joel hasn't had any wins in a while. You know, he's just kind of been jobbing out recently.
Maybe Anthony Ogogo. He hasn't been on in a couple weeks.
Ooh, the Govna. Yeah, I'd like to see Govna back.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll get on TV again pretty soon. But yeah, guys, that's it for Elevation and Dark. Yeah. What do you think? We'll hop into Dynamite right away? And then we'll talk about some Cody Rhodes stuff and what Dynamite looks like next week, because next week looks interesting. But yeah, so Dynamite kicks off, and it is Adam Cole and Red Dragon versus Jurassic Express and Hangman Adam Page. Garrett, you take control of this. What did you think of all this one?
Fantastic opening to this match. I really enjoyed a lot of what was going on throughout. It was just kind of one of your crazy trios matches that you have. Like, dude, Adam Cole has had, with every feud that he has had, an incredible trios match, an incredible eight-man match, and an incredible main event match. So far, he's already done two of those in this. And so now we just need the eight-man tag, which is, do we have one announced yet? Because if not, I wouldn't be surprised if we got that on Rampage.
Yeah, right? Honestly.
That's good. That's going to be my pre-prediction for Rampage before we even get anything announced. That's going to be the eight-man tag. It's going to be the opening of Rampage. But, because it seems more like an opening match. Like, maybe we'll get like a title match or something. I don't know. But, Scorpio Sky defends on Rampage. Let's go. Anyway, hey. I'm booking myself over here. But triple moonsault was insane.
Oh, my God.
Back and forth. Great. Just great trios match. AEW does trios matches better than anybody. I used to hate six-man tag matches with a passion.
Yeah.
And AEW is making me like them slowly. Like,
agreed. I look forward to six-man tags in AEW because I know they're going to be fun.
Eight-man tags in AEW.
As we got the next eight-man week.
Tag at two pay-per-views ago, whatever that was incredible. Like,
and honestly, like, yeah, this is just so much fun, man. This match is the definition of fun. This easily could have been one of our favorites. Like, it's fantastic. Not only was there so many big spots, there's a good story being told here of Hangman and Cole, plus the story being told of, I think the vibe I'm getting, I almost feel like our tag team champions are a little intimidated by O'Reilly and Fish. And I really like how they're playing this story up. Maybe I'm looking for it. Maybe I'm seeing things, but you get the vibe that they know they want to beat these guys, right? They know they want that. This is a historical tag team. They've won everywhere. Longest reigning NXT champ, New Japan, Ring of Honor. This is a historic tag team. They want to beat them. And it's delivered, man. This fucking delivered. The Boom and Adam Cole and Jungle Boy.
Red Dragon and Cole ever in Ring of Honor at the same time?
They were, but they were never together.
Right. They were probably just like, that's probably when he was with the Bucks, right? Yeah.
That's what made that debut so special. With the
Bucky Boys?
Oh, man. God, when they debuted and fucking destroyed Drew McIntyre,
Do you remember awesome. Drew Galloway being the TNA champion?
Oh, yeah. Drew and Lashley?
Dude, Lashley winning every championship and throwing them on the ground.
The belt collector. It's like Kenny's gimmick last year. But yeah,
at least all three championships that Kenny collected mattered. Like, well, Impact, whatever.
But yeah, this was fun, man. Again, I'm curious to know the star rating on this. I would imagine it's like 4.5. This went some length too.
Exactly. It was a good opening. Like everything, opening and closing matches of both shows, phenomenal this week. Like
this is the, you know, well,
does Darby versus Butcher get lost in the shuffle this week? How does Adam Cole and so Danielson and Moxley and Red Dragon and Adam Page all get lost in the shuffle this week?
I would love to show this match to someone who hasn't watched wrestling in a few years.
Just show them what's on TV. I would show them the Moxley. No, Best Friends has like Orange Cassidy. That's hard to explain. What would I show them? I would show them the Jericho Appreciation Society segment.
What we'll talk about. That was pretty good.
Because that is wrestling.
But yeah, we get Ricky Starks, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Keith Lee backstage. They're arguing. And pretty much, again, it was setting up the match and on Rampage and the fact
Ricky
that Lee and
Starks Hobbs is so fucking funny on the mic sometimes when he gets really aggressive. Like, I love Ricky, but he's just not as intimidating as he wants to come off sometimes. Maybe that's just me because I like think of Ricky because I've seen a lot of backstage footage of him and he seems like a really nice guy, you know. But like,
yeah, this was really fun. And
but Ricky getting aggressive with Keith Lee and being like, "Yo, bitch, you can't come on my show." I was just like, "Yo, what the fuck, Ricky? Calm down. Keith's a good brother."
We go to commercial. We come back and we see Chris Statlander looking in the mirror, taking off her makeup. And she's following that.
I'm interested to see where this goes.
Well, I think it was just to put on the black. So I think, I think that's what it was for Rampage. I think this was
even
one
with
night
the
thing.
Stuff that she did in relation to the Red Velvets. You don't think? Maybe.
Hey, maybe we'll see. Maybe she'll get more hardcore. I'm cool with it. We head back to the.
That's
ring
what I'm thinking because AEW is hardcore anyway. So and she's been kind of really nice this whole time. So
and we head back to the ring and we got Brian Danielson and Jon Moxley versus Best Friends. Chuck Taylor and Wheeler Yuta with Orange Cassidy, Trent, and Danhausen out there. Now, Garrett, not only was this match fun, but after the match, oh my fucking God.
Wheeler Yuta abandoning the Best Friends. I called this shit so hard based on a BTE segment. So BTE fucking matters. Shut the fuck up, everybody that thinks it doesn't.
Real quick. So Danielson and Yuta start this one off. Garrett, the story of this match is Wheeler Yuta. Wheeler Yuta is soaking in all the pain. He's asking for more. He wants to get his ass beat. And Danielson's smiling about it. Moxley's smiling about it. Regal was pretty funny on commentary, by the way. You know, JR was nice. You know, he's all happy and he's like, "You in the mask, I don't know who you are." It's like, come on, man. You've been taking his PWG guys for years.
I don't, but he's probably never actually met Excalibur.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, who knows? But it's just funny. I think it's a funny gimmick to play up that no one knows Excalibur. And yeah, Wheeler Yuta, man.
Hold on. That's because Excalibur is literally the wrestling nerd. He's the guy that was like making all these indie wrestlers famous for a while.
Oh, yeah. And I got to say here, man, Wheeler
Yuta.
Does
he still run Bola? And is that every year? Like, I wonder.
Yeah, he still does all that.
That's crazy. He manages to run PWG every year. I mean, it's only a one-time year, but like he manages to do that while also. So does he take off time around PWG's events?
You'd never notice.
What? That's cool. Sorry. So, shout out to Excalibur.
Yeah, but I got to say, Wheeler Yuta here, man. We've talked a lot about how they've been putting him on TV a lot lately. This was by far, without a shadow of a doubt, his best performance for a crowd. This made people recognize him more. Wheeler Yuta's shift in AEW has gone up about 20 slots now. Wheeler Yuta is going to be used more now. And if they put him in this team, which we're going to talk about in a second, if he is the first one to join this team, now they haven't talked about this since like they first started the little feud here of bringing people in. But yeah, long story short, Danielson ends up pinning. What was it? Danielson makes the tag to Moxley, who locks in the Bulldog Choke to get the tap from Yuta. So Wheeler Yuta was just soaking in all this pain. After the match, Best Friends bring Yuta to his feet as they're about to walk out. You kind of get this camera pan from Yuta, and he pushes Orange Cassidy's hand away and gets in the ring. Yuta then extends his hand to William Regal, who slaps the fucking piss out of him. He gets in Regal's face because he snaps right back quick as hell. Danielson, Moxley, and Regal all laugh. Wheeler Yuta smirks, and you kind of get this vibe like okay. Yuta knows what it, he had to get. He has to earn respect to get in this group, and he has to deliver respect to stay in this group. And I got the vibe, man. I think Yuta's going to join this group. And my God, Garrett, we've been saying, as we cover Dark, as we cover just the normal shows for months now, Will Yuta doesn't get a chance on TV as much as he does on Dark. But on Dark, this guy's incredible. Garrett, I think it's coming, man. They know his talent. And I wouldn't be surprised. I fucking wouldn't be surprised if Danielson picked him himself and offered him. Like they actually talked with Tony, like, look, are you cool with leaving Best Friends? I know these are like your actual boys, but we want to do this with you. I wouldn't be surprised if they actually pitched it to him and to Tony and everything. Because Tony's going to let... Let's be honest. Tony's going to let these guys do this in the tag division and fucking run this shit. Because this is a money-making machine. But yes, Garrett, you dive into this match, the whole segment as a whole, really. Because this is incredible. As you can tell, I'm fucking... This is nuts.
You know, it sucks that we're not going to get to see this again because we haven't really got to see Chuck and Wheeler tag that much. But they did really well together. Yuta always gets a moment to shine in all of these matches. It sucks because they let Yuta loose every few dynamites, and then like he goes back to Dark Hell and just doesn't get any offense anymore. And it's, you know, but they're building him up. He got the win over Aaron Solo, you know, on Dark in the Battle of the Dark Gods.
I believe this was his third week in a row on TV too.
He's obviously getting put into this feud, which I'm really excited about. I really hope he joins. I don't know who would be the next person I'd want them to go after.
It's got to be Lee Moriarty next.
Oh, while Slidell's gone too. Oh.
Yep, has to be.
I like that idea. I wouldn't be surprised if they went after Swerve.
Yeah.
Professional wrestlers. I think the ultimate goal is for them to feud with the sports entertainers.
I think it has to be at like All Out, maybe. If we take this that long, right? Assuming it's going to.
A slow build, but the Jericho Appreciation Society building up in the background, and Danielson and Moxley building an army to combat them. I you know, them all just like gathering a bunch of young studs to battle each other in like a battle of the. Of the young talent. I mean, that sounds incredible. Can you imagine the matches you could get out of that? Like,
oh, dude, it could be beyond special. And I would love it. I would fucking love it. But yeah, Moxley and Danielson, we don't know who they're facing yet next week. So that'll be fun to see.
After the match. I'd like to see them face an actual tag team. Like, obviously, there was going to be the Best Friends, but, you know, everyone's injured right now. Except, like, no, literally everyone's injured except Chuck right now. But I was just thinking about it. Everybody's injured. I mean, I guess you could throw, if you want to do a mixed
tag. It's got to be a Dark Order, right? It's got to be. That's my guess.
Silver and Reynolds, maybe, because they've been getting some wins.
I think you...
Oh, wait, Silver and Reynolds are scheduled for a match, aren't they?
Shit, maybe. Yes, they're actually facing the sports entertainers.
So then maybe somebody else.
Maybe the other ones. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, possibly.
All right, so
after Uno that, and Grayson, maybe
it could be. After that, we dive into Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, Daniel Garcia, and 2.0 make their way to the ring. I just want to preface before we dive into.
Didn't
like
we
specifics.
Get an? Wait, sorry. Before we move on, didn't we get an FTR and Bucks tease as well?
Let's see. Was that before? We might have. I just don't think I have it here.
And then we also got the Acclaimed and Swerve stuff was teased a tiny bit with a okay. Ricky Starks thing. I just make sure I write down everything. I don't mean to interrupt so much.
No. This is when, by all means.
I take copious notes, everybody. They don't have very much substance to them, but I just take notes on everything.
This is important because they're doing the slow build for Young Bucks and FTR at Double or Nothing. So little backstage segments here and there. Yeah, that matters. Especially, oh my God. I see people talking about this online. Do you think the FTR's next manager is going to be Bret Hart? Because my God, it's starting to make so much sense.
If Bret Hart is actually with AEW now, then yes. If not, then I don't know.
Well, you got the Owen Hart stuff coming up too.
They don't need a manager. They both have the ability to talk. I mean, you know.
They don't, but I think they want one. And I think they'd love to put Bret Hart back in in professional wrestling if he wants to do it.
Dude, if Double or Nothing like has a segment on it where Bret Hart and Owen Hart's is it his wife or is his daughter?
It's
whatever, his relative can actually, like, I saw some people posting that on Twitter. That would be like one of the most incredible things in the history of wrestling. It would rival the Cody and Dustin moment. Like,
it'd be beautiful.
I mean, one of the most emotional moments in wrestling, but
And
I think, like, I'm really interested to see where they go with the Jericho Appreciation Society.
So let's dive into that a little bit. Let's talk about some specifics in there. So just on the premise, I want to say this was incredible to me. I think this did a lot to get over to me, at least. I wasn't sure how I felt about where Jericho was going after the Eddie Kingston match, but now I'm more comfortable than ever. I think their first feud is going to be an obvious one against Kingston and Proud and Powerful, but after that...
Bro, I can't wait for the fucking segment where we get that forming into an actual stable.
It's going to be so good. So basically, long story short here, Jericho is kind of talking about how they're sports entertainers. And he says how they all need to go by their real names because... You know, Matt and Jeff needed to change their names because Matt and Jeff are the Hardys. So Matt Lee will now be known as Daddy Magic Matt Menard. And Jeff Parker is now Cool Hand Ange, Angelo Parker. So they got to keep Matt and Parker. I mean, that's been their names pretty much as it goes. So Matt Menard, Angelo Parker, it works.
It is kind of funny that Jeff is the reason why they actually finally... Like, Tony Khan was just like, you know, 2.0, I like you, but they're the Hardys.
Yeah, we don't want to have two Matt and Jeffs. Like, it's a slim
pick. Come on, we could have had Matt and Jeff versus Matt and Jeff. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. So, but during all this, Jericho's talking about how we are sports entertainers. And he gets a massive, you know, the crowd. This is so easy. It's so easy to say this shit and get booed out of the building. And Jericho knows it. And he's going to eat this up.
I loved Daniel Garcia saying it too.
Exactly. That's exactly where we're going. Jericho Garcia says, he takes the mic from Jericho. And he says he's got to get something off his chest. And I'm thinking, oh no, are they going to take him out already? It would make sense. But it'd be kind of cool. But I was like, in a way, I'm going to want to see Daniel in this.
We just did this with Dante. No.
Garcia says, if Jericho's going to stand there and call himself a sports entertainer, then he is too. And he points to he pans to the camera and he goes, my name is Dano Garcia and I'm a sports entertainer. And of course it's him that says it.
Bruh, I wanted to punch him. I was like,
one of the best technical wrestlers on this fucking planet. Of course you have it be him that says it. Jericho's a genius. I know it was Jericho.
I think that was Garcia, to be honest with you. Jericho looked a little surprised, but liked it.
I think Jericho knew having him in this group, calling himself a sports entertainer, is so much heat. Because everyone that really, like, probably watches this shit and follows it as much as we do, and if you guys are watching this podcast or listening and you're like, yeah, I fucking love Daniel Garcia. This not only hit deep, but this... He was the only one in that group that's not in WWE also, which is funny. So him saying it is pretty good. But no, man, there was cool stuff in here talking about back in 2019. You know, I believe it was Kevin Owens that actually got in touch with Jericho to get in touch with the guys in 2.0. This is a real thing. They actually are friends, and you got them on their podcast. You got them in AEW. And yeah, man, they're going to go by sports entertainers, and it's fucking hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. And he says, March 16th, 2022, the new era in AEW, the sports entertainment era. And I ate this shit up, Garrett. I fucking ate it up. I'm not even going to lie. I mean, you were kind of saying you were too. So how you feeling about this?
I'm enjoying the direction they're taking it right now. I'm going to hold my breath on this like I always do with segments like this, or with like storylines like this, because... AEW kind of does long-term storytelling like New Japan does. Like, super long-term, where, like, a thing will happen, and then sometimes people will go their separate ways for, like, months, and then not touch again. Like, that's what happened with Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, you know what I mean? Like,
And it's still not a coincidence, little things like like Malakai Black giving a head nod to Dante Martin. That was really cool. That's going to play out. It's going to play out. It's little things like that. Them doing this right after the Bryan Danielson segment. Come on, man.
That's right. Dante Martin, within like a month, got put over by Malakai Black and by Adam Page.
It's incredible.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I would love if they faced Jurassic Express.
Yes.
But yeah, this was fun. We had a video package between the feud of Serena Deeb and Hikaru Shida. I'm guessing maybe next week.
That's either that.
We have no official announcement.
I thought it'd be good if you sandwiched that in Battle of the Belts, maybe between the two title matches.
Well, last Battle of the Belts was all title matches. So I'm assuming they're going to do that again. Who knows?
Maybe, but we'll see. I guess.
Yeah, we'll see. Scorpio Sky versus Wardlow. Dan Lambert's wearing one of the championship belts.
Bro, get rid of the other fucking championship, Tony. Stop.
I can't believe they're having Dan Lambert wear one of those.
If anybody listens to this goddamn show at AEW, please get rid of the other fucking championship, for fuck's sake.
So, I mean, the story of this match was...
You know what? Let me explain why you need to get rid of the championship. You've set the precedent that when somebody gets injured, you can just have an interim champion now, and then they have a match that you set up. You can have a non-pay-per-view setup for a title feud, and it still ends up with having a match because of that now. Like, you can use that to set up a title feud if you don't have one. Like, you know how Britt Baker didn't have championship opportunities all the time? Well, now you could just have an interim, like, say Britt Baker's injured. You could have an interim AEW Women's Champion, you know what I mean? And then
You could.
They could face Britt Baker at the pay-per-view if she's going to be cleared, even if she can't have say you were going to have a TV title match for something, right? That's basically what they did with Sammy and Cody, because Cody was obviously going to win the title off Sammy anyway, but he just didn't have the ability to win the championship yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think the story of this match was Wardlow, you know, was selling a lot. I think putting over Scorpio, and then Wardlow really got his opportunity and was starting to take control. Here's the thing. We knew Max was going to have to do something. And that's just, I mean, look, that's the ground that they played in. That's the card that they dealt. And you couldn't have Wardlow win.
No, which sucks.
But
I told you it sucked that they booked themselves into that corner. Wardlow's first title shot now has to be a loss because...
Yeah, and it's going to set up, hopefully, him and Max just... I mean, it's going to be a great feud. So, you know, it's... He won the face of the Revolution. He's still going to call himself that, but I'm assuming it's probably going to be after the MJF feud. Maybe. Maybe he doesn't call himself it at all, and we just move on, and it was a big pay-per-view moment, and then, yeah. But Sean Spears kind of was the main distraction, and then MJF drilled him with the ring. Any idea how we got that ring back? I don't know.
I think it got left in the ring at the end. I don't think CM Punk kept it. Like,
so maybe snatched it up. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Scorpio wins. Austin Vanderford actually gets in and starts attacking him after. And then Wardlow takes him out. Goes face-to-face with MJF. Power bombs. Just sets him up for the powerbomb, but Spears hits him with the chair. Vanderford then locks in the rear naked choke. Spears drills him with a chair shot to the face. MJF hands Dan Lambert a stack of cash. So it's kind of funny. Ethan Page
on
Twitter was saying he once he heard wind about MJF being around, he took the week off. I love that, actually.
I love that everyone hates MJF, but do you think that Paige Van Zandt's husband will do anything in AEW?
You know, I don't know. I will say, I mean, this might sound dumb, but when he locked in that rear...
He looks good. Like, I think it's like a similar thing. I think some of those guys, just the way they maybe wrestle in, like, training just looks good on TV, even if they're just kind of like... I mean, think about how Brock's gotten away with it for years. Kurt Angle did for years. Now the Gable. You know what I mean? So, I mean, like, it's a build for a wrestler that works really well. Some of the guys are interested. Like, I still want Junior to come back. You know what I mean? Like, I thought he had something. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess he was like, fuck it, I'm not a wrestler, you know, like, but, you know, I don't know.
And it, yeah, man.
Get rid of that fucking second championship. I'm over it.
Agreed. Any idea what Scorpio does? He's clear heel, so.
I think he's going to defend on Battle of the Belts against who? Swerve, maybe? That'd be kind of cool.
Okay. You know, I'm thinking maybe Jay Lethal.
Jay Lethal's been getting, we've been wondering what he's going to do for a while. That'd be fun. Jay Lethal's had a couple of TNT title shots recently, so it wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah, Jay Lethal. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's going to be fun to follow. Wardlow and Max is now full-blown going. Big babyface Wardlow. So, yeah. TNT title. We'll see. Maybe. I mean, we still don't know what Sammy's doing. I mean,
if Sammy could get like some kind of, not like a rematch, but like Sammy could build himself back up and take on Scorpio and like cap off that feud.
Part of me thinks we're going to do a mixed match.
Because, well, the thing is, though, like, American Top Team is just getting stronger. Really, whoever feuds with Scorpio next needs to have backup. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's something to think about. I don't know who that would be necessarily. With Matt Sydal on the shelf, it can't be
Aaron Dante Solo or time. Like that. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Factory's short on people, too. I don't know. Like obviously, Camarado hasn't wrestled in a while. I'm assuming he's probably hurt or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So we hit backstage and TBS champion Jade Cargill is alongside Mark Sterling and Alex Marvez. Alex asks Jade how she feels about being in the cusp of being 30-0. Mark interrupts and said Marvez should be ashamed of himself for not wearing green on St. Patrick's Day Slam and asks if he's scared of getting pinched. But he guesses being pinched is better than getting the kiss of doom. Cargill asks if anyone is ready to face, quote, that bitch. Yeah. I mean, she's always beefing on Twitter with people. It's hilarious. We need to see Jade versus Athena now. I mean, that's got to happen.
Yes.
I don't know.
They just need to sign Athena.
Yeah, they do. That'd be awesome. I don't know, man. I don't know who she's going to face next, but it'll be interesting. Cool.
I think she'll also defend on Battle of the Belts.
I can see Battle of the Belts being loaded. Maybe every one of them except for, like, the tag title.
Well, just because I also feel like she hasn't had a defense. I don't. Did she? She defended on the pay per view, right?
Yep, that was the last one.
I mean, you know.
Private Party versus the Hardys, dude.
Hardys.
The matches just keep going, man. I mean, it just keeps going.
How do you feel about the AFO as the name of the organization?
It works. I think. Hey, man, I mean, if he's booking matches, he's doing a great job because they've been on every fucking show. So,
I mean, what is Andrade doing out of all this? Maybe Andrade is the next opponent for Scorpio because Scorpio is basically a babyface, bro. Let's be honest.
Yeah, but Dan Lambert isn't. So,
yeah, but Dan Lambert will never be a babyface in his life.
Exactly. So, no, they're with how much they're healing up against Ty Conti and now Wardlow, like, nah. It's.
I mean.
I got to imagine Andrade. I mean, you could fucking do Andrade Hangman maybe if they don't go CM Punk. So,
ooh, that'd be interesting.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know what Andrade does next. Is House of Black babyface or heel? See, I don't know.
Good question.
They're neutral, dude. They're the House of Black. That's what they are. They feud with all who fucking.
They're somewhere in the gray area right now because they don't really. They haven't done anything.
Yeah, man. Matt and Jeff, this was fun, dude. Anything you got from this match? I mean,
let me look.
Isaiah Cassidy, dude. Isaiah Cassidy and Jeff Hardy.
Less flipping than I expected in this match, to be completely honest with you. Between both teams. I mean, I know the Hardys can't go as fast anymore, but you can tell Jeff's been not wrestling for a little while. It sucks because, you know, obviously it's going to take him a little bit. Yeah, that's not necessarily rust. I think he was just a little gassed at a couple points in the match. I think he'll get back into ring shape, but it's like CM Punk had the same problem when he first came back after like 7 years. So like if Punk can figure it out after 7 years, like Hardy can figure it out after like 30 days. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And no, I think they got the 8-man next week. I think this is going to go on for a little bit. It's going to be some good matches. I like the Matt going for the razor's edge, by the way. That was a nice little touch.
I like it.
But, yeah, I mean, Jeff got the hot tag. Mark set Jeff, and, you know, it's kind of going on and on. Mark set Jeff up for the gin and juice, but Matt hit the side effect on both Mark and Isaiah. Jeff goes four, lands a splash, then goes for the cover. Isaiah kicks out. Jeff and Matt each hit a twist of fate. Jeff goes up top and lands a Swanton Bomb on Isaiah for the 1-2-3.
This one looked brutal.
Yeah, he took that one to the fucking chest. Yeah, man. The Hardys win. Who knows? You know, they're going to get a title run. It's not going to be a long one, but the Hardys will eventually win this title. It'll be fun, and maybe
that's when the Acclaim. Okay, maybe this is okay. Let me book a couple months out, maybe, like, because I don't think the Acclaim are getting another title shot for a while, because they've gotten a lot recently. Maybe the Acclaimed are the ones to take it off Jurassic Express.
Yep.
And then they have heel champions, and that's who the Hardys take it off of. I don't know.
And that gets the Acclaimed their title reign. That would get the Hardys their title reign. And then the long-term story of all this, that's when Private Party gets there first by beating the Hardys.
Exactly.
So that's how it all ties back around. After the match, Andrade, Alex, the Butcher, the Blade, and Bunny all make their way down to the ring. As soon as Andrade takes his jacket off, Darby Allin's music hits. So Darby Allin is surrounded in the ring by Sting, Jeff Hardy, and Matt Hardy. Fucking incredible. Good for Darby, man. Good for Darby. And again, that kind of sets up our next match, which we're about to talk about. But
Darby's probably just like, bro, what's happening?
He can't believe it, dude. There's no way he can believe. You know what? What if they just run Darby and Scorpio and we go back to Darby being champ for a little bit?
I'd be okay with that. I would like Scorpio to defend the title a little bit first.
Yeah, but yeah. I think Scorpio, yeah. He needs a feud first that's a cool baby face, but we know probably won't win.
Jay Lethal,
exactly. I mean, Anthony Green.
Eddie Kingston.
Let's bring in – no, bro. We can't have Eddie lose that again, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Fuck it. Send it in.
He just beat fucking Jericho. I mean,
I know. Maybe they'll do Lance Archer. I don't know, man. I don't know what the
fuck. Is Lance Archer a babyface?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not.
The way he beats people up.
Probably not. Oh, wait. And then we had that steel cage, so which we already talked about. But yeah, guys.
The women died. It was a steel cage death match.
This was a fucking loaded. When we go back through the shows like this, I just realize sometimes how much this shit's loaded.
And then you look at Rampage and you're like, fuck, Rampage was loaded too.
Yeah, so in a thumbs up, thumbs down world, I mean, it's AEW, man. The grading scale is insane, but it's still a thumbs up. The grading scale in AEW is fucking insane.
It's like either incredible or it falls off a cliff real fast.
Like, my God, man.
It's either Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa in a lights out, you know, no DQ match. Or it's Eddie Kingston crouching over Jon Moxley as the ring doesn't explode.
Fuck, man. We need... Yeah, God, I... Yeah. All right, let's get to Rampage, huh? The show begins.
They both should have died in that scene. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right? The show begins. Excalibur, Ricky Starks, and Taz on commentary. Dude, come on, man.
Dude, Eddie Kingston was ready to make the sacrifice for Jon Moxley. He was going to go down.
You know, that's when you wish live CGI existed. Right there. But I know you love this commentary team. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Taz and Excalibur.
Plus Starks out there. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Rampage commentary team. I mean, I like them and I don't like them sometimes. Jericho's annoying sometimes.
Hey, but he wasn't out there to start, so it's okay.
When he's interested in what he's doing, though, he's good. Like, he had some funny
calls in that main event, actually. Yeah, we didn't even talk about it earlier. But Darby Allin with Sting is facing the Butcher with the Blade and Bunny. And I was kind of wondering...
This match gets lost in the shuffle somehow. This was an incredible opening match.
This was, man. There's been great moments coming from this. Darby's just getting the shit knocked out of him. There was one of those fucking, I think it's like when he... It's a lariat where he, pulls him in and just slams him. Dude.
You know what I was thinking, too, before this match got booked? Stiff. I was thinking in my head... that Darby is feuding with the entirety of the AHFO, right? Or the AFO right now, right?
Yep.
But we haven't really seen, the Butcher and the Blade kind of got left out. It was mostly Private Party who were focused on in the voting. We didn't even see what Butcher and the Blade thought, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now we get the Butcher and the Blade involved in this now. We understand that they're just with whoever is in charge. I don't care if it's Matt Hardy or Andrade, whoever's going to pay them. You know what I mean? And so I feel like we'll get some more on that probably within this feud because we haven't heard about what they think about any of this at all. And I think that's on purpose.
It'll add another element. Dude, the Butcher, man, this guy's good. And he is menacing looking.
The Butcher and the Blade are, like, again, like, the AEW tag division is just so stacked. It's so hard to, like, get, like, an idea of, like, how...
You know what I could see them facing pretty soon? I wouldn't mind them in Top Flight in a match. I think it could be pretty fun.
That would be... Dude, and you could literally book most of the teams in AEW against each other, and it's going to be good. It's crazy.
That's and, what I'm looking at, like. So, basically, the Butcher was just kind of laying waste to Darby outside the ring. Then the guy starts counting, and then Darby ends up hitting him with a coffin drop. He struggles to get back in the ring, and the referee is still counting, and Darby wins via countout. I thought this was a cool way to finish. Yeah,
that doesn't really happen all that often.
No. And, I thought that was a fun way to do this because the Butcher was pretty much kicking his ass.
I don't understand why countouts were always treated like they were a DQ or something because they're not.
They're
like,
not. Technically,
I guess you are DQ'd by countout or something like that. But to me, it feels just like a knockout. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's still a win. It's still a 1-0. Good for Darby. This was fun. But again, we got the same. It almost felt exactly the same after match shenanigans, which for that live crowd must have happened 45 minutes before. Which
literally, they're like, wait, didn't we just get the reverse of this? Like,
and it was literally the same, just setting up the tag for next week, the 8-man tornado tag, which is going to it's going to be insane. I'm back from the break. TNT
Texas
champion,
tornado match.
Scorpio Sky backstage along with Paige Van Zandt and Dan Lambert. Lambert shouts out Scorpio Sky and says, Paige looks great, fights great, and will print more money for AEW than the Federal Reserve.
She's actually got a bit some promo skills. I'm interested to see what she does.
I agree. I don't know. The Lambert thing.
Layla Hirsch needs to join American Top Team. I just realized
Okay. And Red Velvet versus Layla Hirsch. This starts off with a brawl on the entrance ramp. They hate each other. And you know, there's some heat here, man. This has been... What? It's been like a 2-month feud, 3-month feud pretty much. On and off, here and there. And they hate each other. I'm glad they got the spot here. This looked good. This is a fun little match. The story, more or less, right, is Statlander came out with her new look. She's wearing chaps. She's got an all black. She's got like a black star on her head now. She's no longer the alien, I'm taking it, which is, that's fine. It's time to move past that, right? And... Yeah, I don't know what the end game is. Maybe Statlander Hirsch again? I don't know.
Possibly.
I don't know. I still think maybe Statlander could be the one for
Jamie. They only had two matches, right? Like, they didn't have, like, a rubber match, so.
So, hey, this was fine for what it was. And, Red Velvet gets the win. So, corkscrew kick. Anything else you got?
Just, like, they can this feud... is feeling like it's about to wrap up, but I don't know how, you know?
Right? It feels like it's about to wrap up, but now we got a Statlander character change, so I don't even know.
Well, that could go into something else. I don't know who's going to feud with Jade Cargill next, but
yeah,
that could be who potentially. Like maybe a Statlander with an edge is going to be the one that takes on.
You know, good for Red Velvet getting this win. I'm liking her more and more. Really am.
No, Red Velvet is actually, she's really good. I don't know what her comp in the AEW men division would be, but like just a wrestler that you can just stick against anybody and they're going to have a good match and they can do a good job of making somebody else look good.
You know who I think of? Matt Sydal. Speaking of injury.
Matt Sydal, but like she doesn't do the same sort of offense.
No, no, but you know what I mean? Matt Sydal doesn't always win, but everyone knows he's pretty good. He's never really thought of as titles, you know?
No, he's always been just toiling away in the mid card.
This is good. This is good. QT Marshall backstage, he's inviting Hook to the ring next Friday night to accept the QT Marshall Certificate of Accomplishment following Hook's win over him at Revolution.
So I guess they're going to have another match? Is that what this is building to? Like maybe an actual pay-per-view match this time? Because QT's had pay-per-view matches before, so...
I got to imagine this is setting up... Maybe they're going to try and do a fast one and get Ogogo back. Maybe this is how Ogogo gets back on TV. Who knows?
I don't know if I want to see a Go-Go versus Hook, though.
I don't either, like, but fuck it. I would get Hook the hell away from this
both
guy.
Of them. You can't. No, keep them away from each other because there's no way that ends well for one of them. Like,
yeah, I would get Hook the hell out of this feud, to be honest. I'm very surprised they're doing something with it. So.
Well, I'm surprised it's continuing. It made sense in the short term to get Hook on the pay-per-view.
And
but like, I'll be right back. Just continue talking for a second.
Yeah, so we will see what happens with that. So we got House of Black versus Bear Country and Fuego del Sol. House of Black, man. We kind of talk about it weekly. The presentation of these guys is nuts. it just feels unlike anything in professional wrestling, to be honest. Malachi and Bronson got the start. Malachi works great over the big man. Bronson looked pretty good. Malachi takes them out. Shit's just kind of going all nuts. Everyone's laying each other out. Brody King hits a fun little spot on Bronson. And then while everyone's on the outside, Fuego jumps to the top rope. And I'm not kidding you. There is like this 40-second clip of Fuego just going nuts. And Fuego was getting big chance. Fuego dives on a King. King catches him midair, slams Fuego. And then he's just kind of going nuts on everyone, almost getting a little lucky. And then he gets hit by this flying knee from Matthews. And oh my God, he ate that knee. Fuego del Sol ate the knee by Buddy Matthews. And it was really, honestly, that 40 seconds was, it kind of told the story of the match. And to me, it told the story of House of Black. And, you know, this is a team for the Trios title.
Forget sometimes. By the way, shout outs to Fuego for his little segment that he got in the match.
Yeah.
Buried Country are still, I still don't care about them. But there was like a little like sequence in the end of this match where they cut three times really quickly to different moves that all three of them did to like finish off the opponents.
Yeah.
I forget sometimes because of all the layers of mystery. It's kind of the Wyndham Rotunda effect, I'm going to call it, with a new wrestling term coined for everybody, where a wrestler gets so steeped in the mystique of their character. You kind of forget how good of a wrestler they are. And like, remember how like Randy Orton versus when he beat him for the title and that was actually a really good match. And it wasn't that I didn't realize that he could have a good match, is that he's just never really wrestled that much because he was so good on the mic that there's no point in putting him in a match on TV every week because you're going to get more out of the segments and the storyline if you put him on the mic. It's the same thing with House of Black. But like they're all three incredible wrestlers too. Like,
hey man, do you think this helps set up the Fuego and Sammy tag team?
Potentially. I really don't want that tag team. I'd rather Sammy just
I know. Singles. I don't really want it either, but it's totally gonna happen, right?
Who's their trio third member though? Like,
it's gonna be Ty Conti probably.
No, I'm saying for like trios matches, like.
Oh yeah, who knows? Maybe that's when you start recruiting for this vlog squad and just take Aaron out of the fucking factory.
Out of the factory, yeah. Too, honestly.
That could work. Backstage, we see Penta Oscuro and Alex Abrahantes. And they're pretty much just saying the rivalry is far from over between Death Triangle and House of Black. I mean, look, Death Triangle, when Phoenix is back against House of Black, is going to be fucking insane.
It better be like a lights out, no DQ, falls count anywhere, ladder match.
You know how we opened up Dynamite with a six-man tag? I would open up a double or nothing six-man tag, these guys.
If he's healed.
Hopefully. God. Oh, man. I miss Ray Phoenix. I miss Kenny. I miss everyone. I miss them all. Bring them back.
And then we had that pre-match segment that I mentioned earlier, and that was the end of the show.
Yeah, that was it. And again, for an hour-long show, I'm not kidding you, Rampage, it flies by so fast in such a good way.
Something that I mentioned to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
The other day, I don't remember what it was. I sent it to you in DMs on Twitter. I liked Rampage this week, but I didn't like it as much as I did the week before. And I think that's just because Rampage last week was just like really, really
otherworldly.
Good.
Yeah.
It was insane. Like last week altogether was just a really incredible week of wrestling.
Now
this week I didn't like dislike it. I just didn't like it as much as last week, I don't think.
Yeah. So we're back in Texas again this week. Next week we're in South Carolina, which I think is gonna be pretty fun. That's the first time there. And then we're in Boston, which is always a big show. So they're starting to tour around
John
a little
Cena,
bit more, man.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. They're starting to tour around a lot more. And then we go to New Orleans, Pittsburgh.
Is anybody in AEW from Boston?
Oh, I'm sure, right? There's got to be.
I can't think of anybody.
I don't really know hometowns too well, I'll be honest. I couldn't really.
I sometimes pay attention to it. Like, I used to more back when I watched wrestling when I was younger. Like, that's why I knew where CM Punk was from and stuff like that. But, like...
Yeah.
And the Hardys I always paid attention to. Because I bought the Hardys DVD when I went to a wrestling show. When I was, like, a kid. Like, I went to a WrestleMania, like, house show. Like, a WrestleMania, post-WrestleMania house show that they had in where I live.
Yeah,
when
so
I was super young.
It's pretty sweet. And, Yeah, let's talk about the couple matches next week. We got MJF getting a promo. That's going to be
That's cool, not a match, sir.
As always. We got the sports entertainers, Chris Jericho and Daniel Garcia versus Johnny Silver and
Sports Alex entertainers.
Reynolds. We got to get the Daniel Garcia clip on here. That has to be one of them. I'm figuring out a way to get it before our next show. I am Daniel Garcia and I am sports entertainer. One of my all-time favorite one-liners in wrestling right now. I can't believe how much I love that. And then the eight-man tag, Sting, Darby Allin, and the Hardys versus Private Party, The Butcher, and The Blade. So, yeah, we're already loaded for next week, dude.
It's going to be more fun stuff, I have a feeling.
Yeah. Shout out to Mr. The fun never dies. Garrett, I think that'll be it for us. Got anything else?
Daniel Garcia is awesome.
I agree. We'll see you guys next week when we're talking about the new AEW World Champion, Lance Archer.
My God, Bagel, that's Cody Rhodes.
Your new AEW TNT Champion.